Good afternoon, or it's 12 noon, I suppose we are now into the afternoon. It's very good to be here. We are in BNI Facebook Live event, and I'm very glad today to have Michael Guilfoyle with us from Fairstone Financial Management. And Michael, one of the conversations we've had is Michael helps people to retire early. So welcome to this Facebook event, Michael.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me, Andrew.
You can see today that Michael is totally dressed up. The shirt and a tie on, he's professional looking, because this is how Michael dresses for his work. And I've dressed up with my best looking polo shirt today. It's branded, of course, but we are we'll have a bit of fun today and enjoy what we do together. So we have a few people who are listening as well already, Michael, looking on, which is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So what I'm going to say to them now, people who are listening, if you have any questions or anything you want to know about financially, the markets, what's happening, pensions, drop them in the chat box. We're going to have a bit of a conversation about some of the other things that are happening. Kathy Lee says that, Michael, you're very smart looking. Or maybe that was me she was meaning. Thanks very much for that, Kathy. I know it's a top quality polo shirt I've on. We also have somebody, Declan Gray.
Yes, Declan was at our meeting this morning.
All right, excellent. Welcome, Declan, and good afternoon to you. And then we have Owen Sweeney, who says I'm sharp looking. So fantastic, Mike, for that, Owen. Really glad that you see the quality here today. Michael, just tell us a bit about, you know, we're in the middle of this whole COVID crisis, really, at the moment.
Yeah.
How has that been for you personally, first of all, looking at your own life and that type of thing, and then about business, how's things changed in that way?
Yeah. So from a personal point of view, it's been difficult because my daughter lives locally, and we've just had a granddaughter that we can't hold. We can see her, but that's it really at the moment. But you've got to look at the longer term picture here and hope that, you know, the restrictions that we currently have will slacken over the next couple of months, I would imagine. And both Ruth and Zara will be able to come over to the house, and we'll be able to go over to her house as well. I suppose how I've dealt with it is really by trying to do what I do every day, which is just continuing to work. And I suppose there's two parts to that, really. It's reviewing existing clients, so there are annual reviews that need to be done, and also picking up on new inquiries, and which normally translate into new business as well. And those come from a variety of sources. One would be my membership at BNI, and I've also got an accountant contact as well. And then I get referrals from existing clients. But from a business point of view, I am exceptionally busy. I really am. I'm as busy now as I was January, October, November last year. In some respects, I'm probably busier.
What type of things are you actually doing for clients, Michael, at the moment? You know, what sort of business are you doing?
Well, the sort of things, I suppose I could split that in two again as well, Andrew. So the first thing is those people that are already invested is providing them with reassurance that they shouldn't come out of the markets at this stage, and reminding them of their, their investment terms, how far away do when they're going to actually need this money, you know, what their risk profile is, if their personal circumstances haven't changed. And I just say, keep calm, keep invested. That's the key to it for existing clients. New business at the minute is a mixture, getting a lot of protection queries. So that's clients that are, or new clients that are looking to review life assurance needs, critical illness cover needs, reviewing their income protection to ensure that they're adequately protected in the event of ill health. So there's quite a lot of that at the moment. And that's it. And some investment work as well, certainly not the amount of investment work there was previous to COVID-19. But there is people that are still brave enough to invest money in the markets now, because you can see the opportunities longer term. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of people possibly can't see at the minute, because we're all living in the present. But, you know, I've been through various economic downturns before, and I'm not taken away from this one, but completely different to the previous ones. Markets have dipped significantly, clients' investments have dipped significantly, but they've all come back. So I have every confidence that that's going to happen again, providing it's adequately managed, providing the client is within a portfolio that matches their risk profile and their capacity for loss, and they know about the timescales that they're investing for. There should be no issues whatsoever, none whatsoever. I've honestly had very few phone calls from clients. It's more me being proactive, just ringing clients to reassure them that everything's okay.
Very good, Michael. We have a comment here from Steve McKechnie. He says, "Michael, your badge is upside down."
Oh, but sometimes it's supposed to be upside down.
Okay, all right. Maybe it's not
Because,
upside down. That's just the way you want it.
yeah,
Excellent.
because people will ask more about the badge when it's
All
upside
right, okay. This is Steve
down.
McKechnie. I think he's just trying to be smart today, Michael. On your
Very observant of Stephen, isn't it?
yeah. Aaron Skinner says, "How long did you spend organizing your bookshelf for this?" Don't know if he's talking to you or me, actually. So, mine might need to organize. It's starting to bow under the pressure. So, whenever you become a prolific book buyer, maybe that's a problem, you know. So, also, Paul Abram here, delighted to join you, Mike.
Paul's a
So,
client of mine from
excellent.
Grimsport.
And Paul, if you have any question, drop them into the chat box there, and that would be fantastic. Pauline Stinson, I'm an Amber PPE.
Yeah. Pauline's a client of mine. She's a big shout out for Pauline. She works up in South Tyrone Hospital. She's a doctor up there.
All right.
So she's at the front line at the minute.
Very good. Excellent. So, yeah, a lot of people doing a lot of work at the moment under a lot of pressure. So, I'm glad you're able to join, which is fantastic. And then we've got a question from Owen Sweeney. And his question is, how does a change in oil prices and all the economical turmoil affect pensions and investments?
Probably doesn't, to be honest with you, on it just depends, I would imagine, on the investment portfolio that a client's currently invested in and whether they have exposure to some of the large oil companies such as BP. It's quite likely in a portfolio where there's UK equities that BP would feature there. Broadly speaking, a client that's invested in a pension or investment portfolio will have a mix of asset classes. So, there'll be equities there. There could be some commercial property, government bonds, government gilts, and they could have exposure to different geographical areas as well. So it might affect it, but I don't think it's going to significantly affect an investment portfolio. That's my thoughts on it anyway.
Okay, excellent. We've got a personal comment here. We have Helen Madole, and she says,
Oh.
"Congratulations on becoming a grandfather."
Thank you, Helen.
So,
Helen's another client of mine as well.
excellent.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be too young to be a grandfather, but there we go. Yeah, make you feel good today. If nothing, I'll get a smile out of you, Michael.
You always smile, Andrew.
So we're just dealing a wee bit with the personal there, Michael. Tell us
Yeah.
a little bit where you come from. In the sense of, I believe you're originally from the Newry area, that type of
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah. So originally from the Newry area, my mum and dad live in Warren Point. Was educated in Newry and then went off to London for further education for another 3 years with my very good friend Declan Gray, who I believe is online this afternoon with us, and spent another 2 years in London working for a couple of insurance companies, and that's where I got the interest in in investments and general insurance products. I then came home, ran my father's business for about 4 years. He then sold that business, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do now? And I seen an advert in the Belfast Telegraph for an insurance company that was training salespeople, as they were known at that stage, training them up and also giving them the qualifications that they required in order to practice. And I went for the interview, got the job, and started work a couple of weeks later. Stayed with them for about 2 years, and I was in the top 10 salespeople in the whole of the UK. And I seen an advert in the paper for an independent financial advisor, and it was for British Medical Association. So BMA used to have a financial arm that they owned, or they owned a percentage of it. So went for the interview, got the job, and started providing advice to doctors. And that set me on the journey that I've been on for the last 20 years, primarily providing financial planning advice to hospital consultants, general practitioners, but other professions as well. But the majority of my clients are doctors, and just they're wonderful people to deal with. They are.
Excellent. You were mentioning there Declan Graves. So Declan must have been at your BNI meeting this morning as
He
well.
was,
Yeah,
yeah.
excellent. He says his comment here was very beneficial. In fact, I've just spoken to a contact I picked up at the meeting. We may be able to do some business together going forward.
Fantastic. So the power of BNI, givers
Well,
gain.
yes, ultimately it's about connecting people, and that's fantastic. Even in the day that we're in, it's really great to see the positive people have and how they're making the BNI system work for themselves, which is absolutely fantastic. So, very good. So, just tell us about your meeting this morning. What was happening there? So, you had to get along. So.
We normally meet at the Stormont Hotel in Belfast, which is fantastic. We have 26 business professionals that meet or did meet on a weekly basis, but since COVID, what we've done is we've come online and we do a Zoom meeting. So it's a group BNI Zoom meeting. So all the members were there this morning, and we also had, I think, 8 visitors this morning. And really, what BNI is about, as Andrew's already said, it's about connecting business people. It's about supporting each other, and there's different ways we can support each other. So we can support each other through providing quality referrals. We can also do, some of the members may ask for advice, so we can provide them with advice. We've got BNI University as well. And we meet with visitors come along. Some of those visitors may join the chapter, others we may do business with. So it's fantastic. I've only been involved in it for 2 years, and it's been a real game changer for me. It really has.
That's excellent, Michael. Just some people have been very active in the chat box. I'm trying to get through some of the stuff here on the Facebook Live. David McGreevy.
Yes, very good friend of mine.
Yeah, well,
Yes.
David's just asking the question really from interest rates are near zero. I mean, I got a letter in from my bank just the other day, our billing society, and it said that my savings had dropped from 1% to a tenth of a 1%. So basically, it's on the floor. And he's also talking here about blue chip companies are slashing or suspending dividends. So this is a question now. This might take a lot longer than what we have today, but where do you think pension investors can find value for money today?
This is how I would approach it. But then, I'm providing the regulated advice. If it was me, first thing I'm going to do with a client is I'm going to look at the timescales that they need to invest within, and then going to measure their risk profile, and then going to measure their capacity for loss. And then I'm going to make a recommendation based on all of those factors. And what I say to clients is, if your attitude to risk doesn't change, if your capacity for loss doesn't change, and if your timescales for saving don't change, and if the product or the investment that's been originally recommended is still fit for purpose, and remember, it will be reviewed on an annual basis, do nothing else. Don't be trying to find. I'm not a stock picker. I'm a financial planner. I have people in the background that choose the funds and the investment portfolios on my behalf. I wouldn't even have the time to do that. My job is to plan, look for a solution, having listened to the client's circumstances. Don't second guess the markets. Don't try and invest in the markets if you don't have experience. I know David would have experience in investing in the markets, but if you don't, employ an advisor to do it for you. Simple as that. I wouldn't do it any other way.
Very good. You must have invited all your friends to come on this morning, Michael, and some of your customers and stuff, because we're getting a number of comments. Another well wisher here from Andrew Beck. She's hoping you and your family are well. I know we were chatting earlier about your wife. She works in the occupational end of the health service. Is she in the front line at all, or how's that work for her?
She's volunteered for the counselling line for the NHS in Northern Ireland. That's for on a Monday morning. So that's for nurses and frontline staff and doctors that are coming off duty and may possibly have been traumatised by what they had seen the previous evening whilst they were at work. Thankfully, that line hasn't been particularly busy, and that probably feeds into the fact that we have been very lucky, I think, in Northern Ireland with COVID-19 so far. And some of the predictions that have been made, you know, thank goodness haven't come through. Andrew's on the front line, so he is. He's a GP, so big cheer for him. So she does that, and she's a cognitive behavioural therapist and a counsellor. So she helps people with problems. That's her job. She works in the trust part-time, but she also works, she has her own private clients, and she works for Nexus, who are a charity that provides counselling to those that have been sexually abused.
Very good. Thanks for that, Michael. Again, a question in here from Paul Jenkins, actually, and maybe some of them have already been answered, but his question was what's the most common concerns you're hearing from clients, and what advice are you giving? Maybe some of them we've covered, maybe the other ones you haven't yet.
Common concerns are, what's going to happen? Are the markets going to drop any further? That's the biggest concern. Am I in the right investment? So it's just reminding clients, think back to our original conversation. Think about the time scales involved. Think about your risk profile. Think about your capacity for loss. If none of those have changed, you change nothing. Stay calm, stay invested. That's my advice.
Oh, very good. One here from Brian O'Hare.
Yes, another good friend of mine.
Is he a customer of yours?
Client? No, he's not.
Okay,
but that's he's a very good friend of mine.
Oh, that's interesting, because what he says, you're looking good, Michael. He's trying to follow you up here, and he says, very interested in getting some financial planning advice relevant to the current climate. So I'm really, really great you've asked the question, Brian. Arrangement I have with Michael, I get 10% of anything. Only joking, folks. No, good question. And again, that's great. So it's a good contact for you to go and do something in these days, Michael. So, excellent. We also had Mary McLean.
Oh, Mary, yes.
Yes. Yeah, one of Michael's new clients, having more time to review existing policies and was in need of independent overview. So that's fantastic. Good to have clients on here. Doreen Ritchie says, looking good, Michael.
Thank you, Doreen.
What's annoying me here, it's all focused on you, Michael. There's nobody saying I'm looking well and maybe I've got an issue there.
Andrew, it's all about me. Should have known that.
Yeah. Looking good, Michael. I had no idea you had so much experience. So there you are. So that's excellent. Declan Graham back in here again. Been a client of Michael's for a number of years, and his work for me has been absolutely invaluable, especially now that I'm heading towards retirement. So that's excellent. That's a great testimonial. And again, I know even we talk on BNI about testimonials and things. Is that something that you actively seek as well, Michael?
Without a shadow of a doubt, I try and build testimonials into my business process when I'm with a new client at the very, normally at the beginning of the meeting, but then, just asking them, if they wouldn't mind to provide a testimonial, I can guide them to a page with Trustpilot. I've got a 5-star rating with Trustpilot, and that's thanks in the main to all my clients that have been generous enough to provide excellent testimonials. So that's great. Yeah, very important.
I think it's actually a great testament to yourself, as you actually have some clients on here watching today and people engaging here, which is absolutely fantastic. Really good to hear from David McGreevy again, and saying the tab for these unprecedented government expenditures during COVID-19 will have to be picked up by someone. Who do you think will ultimately be left holding or looking for the chair when the music stops? Great question, but don't know how easy it is to answer that one.
I think, you know, it's not going to be our generation. I talk about my generation as I'm 53, but you know, I really do, you know, I fear for the, you know, my kids and also for my grandkids, you know, my grandchild, and the sort of bills that they're going to have to pick up. I really am. I mean, this is unprecedented, and the money that has been spent, and rightly so, and for all the right reasons, is just eye-watering. It is absolutely eye-watering. And Davey's right, you know, somebody's going to have to pick this bill up. I'm not, you know, quite sure where that's it's obviously going to be tax. There's no other way. It's going to be income tax, national insurance, but it's a very fine balance because, you know, in order to, you know, in order for people to, in order for you to be encouraged to go out to work, you can't be taxed, you know, exponentially. So there's a very fine balancing line there. I think it's going to be a century. It's going to be like the Second World, after the Second World War, and the expense of that in the First World War as well. You could be talking a century.
I think one of the things we've got to realize, the government doesn't actually have any money. They only have our money or our future money. So ultimately, a nice word of gratitude here from Paul Abraham. He says, thank you for your weekly update concerning investment and pensions. Great to have your help, advice, and reinsurance over these past 20 years. So are you sending out information on a weekly basis then, Michael, on what you're doing?
I send out an email to all my investment plans on a weekly basis, basically. And it's first of all to provide a little bit of reassurance. Secondly, to say, and I say this to every client, you know where I am, just pick up the phone if you need to speak to me. And just to give them a bit of an, I suppose, rather than listening to all, you know, the news is bad out there, but there's too much news out there. And this is a synopsis of the last week in, you know, and you could read it in 3 or 4 minutes. And it's to give people confidence and hope that things are going to come back to where they were before COVID-19 came along.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of there needs a lot of reassurance and communication and positive communication these days. I've actually heard people say, you know, if you used to email people once a month, you should be doing it once a week or once a day. And you know, this day, I think it's nearly like the only fear I have is there's so much information today, and it's how much of it you take in, of course.
And the other thing is, you know, I could probably send out an email every day, but you know, it's not going to work. You know, it just needs to be something very simple that gives you an update on the previous week and gives you an idea about where the markets are and where there's value and where they could be potentially going. And David, if you're still on, I'll get you linked into that email so that you can have it on a month, normally on Monday or a Tuesday. It comes out in the morning.
Yeah, I think one of the things is you can't make a decision, and especially in financial planning, which you're involved in, you can't make a decision on a daily basis and that type of thing. It's long term.
Yeah. And here's the thing, Andrew. Any loss that a client has on their portfolio is a paper loss. It's only a loss if they crystallize the investment.
Yeah,
You know?
I understand that, and that's where it is. Again, we've really jumped into the business side, and just for a moment, I want to just
Yeah.
jump back out maybe a bit more on the personal side, Michael, for a bit, people get to know you. So on a personal level, I mean, what sort of goals have you got on a personal level for yourself and your family? You know, yeah, we've had these things come and knock us with COVID or whatever, and always going to be things that come and knock us, but what is it you've got you're looking forward to or would like to achieve before you retire, before you know these different things for you?
Yeah, well, the one thing I'd like to do is to walk the whole of the Camino. That is a big one for me. Now, whether that's going to happen in the very near future, I'm not quite sure. That's very important to me. Providing financial security for both Ruth and Michael Jr. are also very important to me as well, so that I can give them a good start, give them a leg up as such. And you know, I suppose what I want to do in terms of retirement is sort of is over the next, I suppose, 7 years is to progress down the way. So you know, I've gone to a 4 day a week. What I'd like to do is go to a 3 day a week at some stage in the future, and then eventually retire. But I don't see myself doing that anytime soon, Andrew. I spend more time trying to plan my clients' retirement than I tend to plan my own in some respects.
Is that a wee bit like a cobbler who has holes in his shoes type of thing?
Totally.
But again, I think it's good to have those type of goals or things that you have, you know, whether it be Camino Walk or whatever. And you mentioned that your son, Michael Jr.
Yes.
I ask, was your father called Michael Sr., was it?
He was, and my grandfather before that as well. So,
So what, are you Michael the Third then, are you?
I'm Michael the Third, yeah.
All right, maybe I have to change your name a wee bit then. Very good. What would you say on a personal basis? I know family and people talk about family being a great achievement, but what would you say has been one of your personal great achievements in life?
One of the things I'm very proud of is the fact that I raised a considerable sum of money for PIPS in Craigavon. PIPS is Suicide Awareness Charity. They're based in the whole of Northern Ireland. Unfortunately, Ruth's very good friend at 15 took his own life, which was 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. That had a profound impact on Ruth and her friends, and had a profound impact on me as well. And I thought, you know, I have to give something back, you know. So I did a charity cycle walk and mountain climb over one day, which was great. I really enjoyed that and raised quite a lot of money with the help, might I say, of the vast majority of my clients who were very, very generous.
Very good. I mean, I think all charity type work that people do can become a great achievement. And I remember even myself, I set out to, you know, raise £1,000. And then I thought, well, work with some of the young people I was doing. What, and then all of a sudden it became £15,000 and families got involved, which was a massive achievement for them, but also was a massive benefit to the charities and stuff. So these things are absolutely great. Good. So you mentioned cycling, you mentioned mountain climbing, and I know some of your interests are in sort of that sort of activity. So yeah. Tell us more about your interest, you know, whether it's running or whatever that might be, Michael.
Yeah, so... interest. Well, I love hill climbing and hiking, but sure, we can't do a lot of that really at the minute. So I've gone back to sort of a regular walk, either early in the morning or in the evenings for an hour and a half. Built myself a gym in the garage, just out of bits and pieces of a personal trainer, left stuff up with me. So I try and keep myself sort of mentally fit by being physically fit. I run a Facebook page as well, or Facebook group. It's an historical group. There's about 4,000 members in that group. And I read a lot. So that's me, really. Yeah.
Very good. So hill climbing, historical Facebook page.
Yeah.
And also reading. So what's your sort of thing for reading? Is it fiction, non-fiction?
So I do fiction and non-fiction. So I just read the life story of Mengele, the Nazi doctor during the Second World War, who was in Auschwitz. Very sobering story that was, but fascinating in more to do with how he escaped, how he was supported both by Nazi sympathizers and his very wealthy family in Germany, and how he led a miserable life after the war, deservedly so, I might say. So I do a history. I love that sort of Second World War era. Very interested in Irish history, 1916 to 1922 especially. And then, you know, on a fiction side, I love detective novels. Just, I could devour those. If I can, I try to read a book a week.
Excellent. Yeah. And are you reading any business books at the moment?
No, but you've recommended a few to me.
Okay.
There was one, I can't quite recall, we were speaking last week, and I just don't have the notes here in front of me, and you'd recommended a book, which I am going to buy, because I could use it in the business, basically.
Yeah. The trouble I have is I'm speaking to people who are reading different books, or they tell you something that's maybe for information's sake, so you end up buying it, and that's why You might read a chapter or two, because you take out what you want and leave it, you know. So like I'm reading a book at the minute on mastermind groups. I'm reading a book at the minute on You Haven't Reached Your Peak Yet by Harvey McKay. Excellent book, real positive type book. I arrived on the first day that sort of COVID hit here where we were. My goodness, you needed that positive thoughts, I can tell you. Yeah. And then I was on an Inner Circle program last week, and the person was talking about accountability. So it was a book on accountability. So I have that. And then there was a book club thing that part of this Inner Circle was on last night. So I ended up ordering the book from that as well. So my wife will be killing me again. So anyhow, I'm buying them Kindle sometimes now because I can't see it, you know. So
I need to check that book that you'd recommended. For those that you are still watching, Andrew also mentors me on a monthly basis. And I can't tell you how transformational that has been over the last 3 months, holding me to account, providing me with some fantastic ideas for the business, small nuggets, golden nuggets that you can use that really make a difference to your business. So, you know, if there's any business people watching this, I would recommend Andrew as a mentor all day long.
Michael, I appreciate that, and I didn't set that up, by the way, folks.
No, you didn't. You absolutely didn't.
So, yeah. Thank you very much for that. So in the sense of some of those interests, some of the questions actually come in again, some that Paul had mentioned here, just break them down.
Yeah.
One of the questions he says, you know, how often should people review their pensions and investments?
Once a year.
Okay.
Our service level states, we have two service levels. You can ring us at any time if you have any concerns, but we would normally provide you with an update on an annual basis. Now, that update is a report, and the report will outline what your personal circumstances are, what your risk profile is, what your capacity for loss is. It'll give you an outline of how the portfolio has performed over the last year against a relevant benchmark. And it will also give you the progress of that report over a 5-year period, or investment over a 5-year period. Now, you mightn't be invested over 5 years, but my goodness, anybody that's receiving an annual report at the minute certainly isn't in positive territory. But what we remind them is to look back at the previous 5 years to see how well that particular fund has done. And then what we ask clients to do is, if their circumstances have changed, to contact us, because if their personal circumstances or financial circumstances have changed, it could have an impact on the initial financial plan. So all we need to do is tweak that plan. So that's what we do.
So when you talk about maybe personal circumstances change, what might that be?
So, for example, a client might have originally said that they were going to retire at 60, and then they decide that they want to retire at 57. So the plan that they have in place is going to have to be recalibrated to see whether or not they can actually retire at 57. So part of my job is really saying to the client, you can't retire at 57. Or if you're going to retire at 57, these are the things that you're going to have to do between now and 57 in order to achieve that. And if the client can't do that, either from a financial point of view or because they just don't want to do it, then you're going to have to give them the hard story that it's still 60, unless you make changes.
No, very good. And would the, you know, I take it life events, you know, people maybe changing jobs, kids been born, that type of thing. Those all change maybe the things that are happening.
Totally. So, you know, younger doctors and younger clients that I have, once they get married, we would be reviewing their protection needs mostly. So, you know, once family come along, ensuring that their income's adequately protected in the event of ill health, all their mortgage liabilities and any other loans that they have are protected in the event of critical illness or death. So that's very important. And those don't necessarily need to be, protection needs don't necessarily need to be reviewed on an annual basis, but they do need to be reviewed when personal circumstances change or their job changes.
No, excellent job, Michael. Out of all the business that you've done, what would you say has been one real success story I don't want people's names, of course,
but no, for sure.
Some real success story of how you've helped somebody and you've helped them right through into retirement or reviewed them or brought pensions and sorted them out. You know, what's one success for you?
There has been loads of successes, but there is one that actually stands out for me. It's a client that's still a client of mine who is now retired. And I remember having a meeting with her, and she said to me, you know, she was 56, I think, at the time. She said, I'm finished with this. You know, I don't want to do this job anymore, but I'm not quite sure whether I can retire now. So I asked her to complete an expenditure analysis to see what she would need into retirement. And then what we did was we compared the expenditure analysis to the pension that she had accrued within the NHS. And even retiring early, because within the NHS, if you retire early, you'll be hit with an actuarial reduction on your pension. But even with the actuarial reduction, I was able to prove to her that she could retire now. And I mean, you know, the smile on that lady's face, by virtue of the fact that, you know, she could retire 4 years early and could actually retire now, was just priceless. And that, to me, is, you know, being able to bring a solution like that, that's bringing a solution to the table without having to recommend a product. That's bringing a solution to the table, which that client will tell other colleagues about as well. That's priceless to me. To be able to help somebody like that is just priceless.
And I'm quite sure you get a lot of buzz, if that's the right word, out of seeing people been able to do that.
Well, that's fantastic. I love my job.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just a fantastic job. There's very few people, there's a lot of people out there who don't enjoy the job that they do. I just love the job that I do. I love being able to help people, provide them with solutions, most importantly, provide them with peace of mind. If you can do that, it's a success. It's a win-win for everybody. It really, really is.
Excellent. So some of the products that you sell, which we've covered today, and the sort of two main ones I take it would be pensions one, and then investments is the other one, really. So combined in some ways, but what is, you know, if there's people listening, maybe try to find your referral. What's the pain that maybe some people, or the problem that some people have before they come to you? What is it that in the pension scene, how do they end up with you as such?
I describe it as pension confusion. People, people don't generally understand, with doctors, and a vast majority of my clients are doctors, don't necessarily understand their occupational pension scheme, how it works, what it provides them with. And on the flip side of that, those are my clients that, you know, aren't doctors. I come across a lot of clients 50 plus, have gone through numerous jobs, have accrued different pensions from different providers, and they don't know what they have accrued. They don't know what it's going to give them, and they have no plan for retirement. So I call it pension confusion. And what I provide those clients with is pension clarity. So people come to me confused, and they leave, hopefully, in the main, with a clear picture of where they are, what they need to do, and where they need to go. Simple as that.
And I suppose in some ways people might have two or three pensions, and you're trying to bring them all together.
Absolutely. I've brought together clients with five or six pensions from different employers, brought them together, reduced the overall cost that they're paying on an annual basis to the provider, put them into a fund that matches their risk profile and, more importantly, their capacity for loss. And now they have a report coming in each year which confirms where they were last year, where they are this year, and how well the fund has done, or maybe how well it hasn't done, certainly in current circumstances. So that's great.
Excellent. Excellent, Michael. Just as we've been on today for, just trying to see how long we've been on today, we're actually a good while here, we're over 39 minutes or so, 40 minutes.
Wow.
So time disappears when you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
I know we started off a wee bit at the start talking about how you've been involved in BNI, and you've been involved for 2 years nearly now, is it?
Yeah.
2 years, which is absolutely fantastic. What would you say has been your wins from being a part of BNI? I know you mentioned a bit, but what would you, if you're breaking it down at 2 or 3 points, what would it be?
I was going to say to you there are numerous wins with BNI. So wins that I see, networking and having support from a bunch of other professionals from different professions that are there for you at the weekly meeting and are there during the week for you. So, you know, they might find a referral for you, for example. They refer that person on to you. Development. I did the, as you know, I was asked to do the presidency role last year. I mean, I could never have done that before. Stand up in a room with 24, 25 people and run a meeting. Just couldn't have done it. That's provided me with confidence that I hadn't had previously. And you know, those are the two big, and the other thing is, you know, working as a team. I love working as a team and helping other people. And we all know what BNI is about. Givers gain. You give me business, I'm more likely to give you business. That's a wonderful concept.
You mentioned like a help in there. You talk about teamwork and the confidence and all those type of things. And people join BNI, always say people join BNI for the business, which you've had business out of BNI. But then they also stay in BNI because of all the other things that they've had as well. Just very quickly, as we sort of wrap up a wee bit here, Andy Baird has come on and said, good man, Michael, with a thumbs up. So maybe he should be the one interviewing you. He's a bit more of a radio star, I suppose.
He is. Andy's from, he's in Cool FM on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. And David McGreevy came back again and he said, I hope you have the book read for next week's Zoom book club.
No, not yet.
So you didn't tell us you're in a book club, Michael. So
We just, myself and David and a couple of the other guys started a book club 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so what's the book in the book club? You don't mind me asking it.
Oh, David, put the name of it down. I can't remember the name of it.
That's what David's been working. We have had some people drop off and come back in again.
Which is great.
And for people who are just listening now, I would suggest you go back to the beginning at the end of this and listen to it. Some good stuff been covered. So there has been, again, Aileen Jones has said here, always gives wise and thoughtful advice tailored for you as an individual.
She's a wonderful person.
Yeah. Very cool. I remember one time, and maybe I was being derogatory against Newry at the time, but I was driving in the bypass. I could see the rainbow over Newry, and I thought, there's hope for Newry yet. And there you are. Michael Guilfoyle has come out of Newry, and look at what he's bringing for people. And the impact looks like, based on what you've seen here, the impact you're actually making on the lives of people, which is absolutely fantastic.
That's very humbling, any of the comments that have been made today.
Okay. So, Michael, for people who maybe are on the call, who maybe don't know you as well or whatever, what would you say is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
You can go to our website and fill in a form there.
What is your website, Michael?
So it's just tell you now. I'm sorry, Andrew. You think I should know that? It is. Just looking here. www.firststoneni.co.uk.
Okay.
You can also contact me. On my mobile, 07970-624-834. Contact me by email, michael.guilfoyle@firststoneni.co.uk.
Excellent. And Declan Gray's come back there and said, the book is A Shadow of the Wind, proving to be an excellent read. Great recommend by David McGreevy. So there you are.
There you go.
Excellent. There you are. There's stuff happening.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you very much for being on Facebook Live today. And I hope it's been a benefit to other people who've been listening. I also hope it's been maybe a benefit for people who read or listen to this later. This is our sixth in a series of member spotlights in BNI Facebook page. We do intend to do another three next week. We which we aim to be on the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday again. And for any BNI member who is listening today, if you want to be on the spotlight, let us know, because I think we've got three for next week and we're already starting to build a list for the week after. So it's been very good to have Michael here. It's very good to hear his insights and where he is in the financial world and also things even his own personal life. So I hope you've enjoyed it as much as what we have. So thanks very much, Michael.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me along, Andrew. I really appreciate it.
A big shout out to all your friends, your families, and your customers who've been on online, which is absolutely fantastic. And thank you for the testimonies you've given. So thanks for joining us today on BNI Northern Ireland Facebook page. All right, folks, thank you.